ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके. Thank you very much. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, text number 40.
Yadapi dik इह जयिनो यज्विनो ये वाय राजर्षयः किं तु परमृधे शैरन् अस्याम् एव ममेयम् इति कृत वैरानुबन्धायां विसृज्य स्वयम् उपसंहृतः
यत् अपि although Dik Ipa Jaina, who are victorious in all directions. Yajvina, expert in performing great sacrifices. Ye, all of whom, why? Indeed, Raja Rishaya, very great saintly kings, Kim Tu, but Param, only this earth, Mridhe, in battle, Shairan, lying down, Asyam, on this earth, eva, indeed, mama, mine, iyam, this, iti, considering in that way, krita, on which is created, vaira anu bandhayam, a relationship of enmity with others. Visrijya, giving up. Swayam, his own life. Upasangritaha, being killed. Translation. There were many great saintly kings who were very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus, they simply created enmity with rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real mission. Please repeat. There were many great saintly kings who were very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus, they simply created enmity with rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real mission. Just want to make a small comment before we read the purport. There is a thrust of the argument here that Shukadev Goswami is citing those who have been very successful in life. People who were very successful. In particular, kings. But it applies to anybody in any path of life who is very successful. And he's pointing out the failure that whilst we might be very, this is the word kim right in the beginning, yad api, and the word kim, even though somebody has been very successful, if he has failed to conquer the misconception that I am this body and material things around me, they belong to me, then it's a failure. So this is the thrust of the argument here. Purport. The real mission of life for the conditioned soul is to reestablish the forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service so that he may revive Krishna consciousness after giving up the body. One doesn't have to give up his occupation as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra or whatever in any position while discharging his prescribed duty. One can develop Krishna consciousness simply by associating with devotees who are representatives of Krishna and who can teach this science. Regretfully, the big politicians and leaders in the material world simply create enmity and are not interested in spiritual advancement. Material advancement may be very pleasing to an ordinary man, but ultimately he is defeated because he identifies himself with the material body and considers everything related to it to be his property. This is ignorance. Actually, nothing belongs to him, not even the body. By one's karma, one gets a particular body And if he does not utilize his body to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all his activities are frustrated. The real purpose of life is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd chapter, text 13. Ata pumbi dvija shrishtha varnashrama vibhagasya swanishtithasya dharmasya sansidir hari toshanam. It really doesn't matter what activity a man engages in. If he can simply satisfy the Supreme Lord, his life is successful.
Om ajnanati mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuruna militangina tasamai shri gurave namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Yadapi dik ibha jaino yajvino ye vairajashaya kimtu param ridhe shairan Asyam eva mameyam iti krita vairanubandhayam visrijya swayam upasangrita.
There were many great saintly kings who were very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus they simply created enmity with rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real mission. The significant point of this particular verse is that there is a purpose to our life. And of course we also think there's a purpose to our lives. I have to be successful. There is a struggle for existence. And to succeed in the struggle, we consider to be the measure of success. We struggle to maintain ourselves. We struggle to achieve all the things we desire. And we struggle means we dedicate ourselves. We sacrifice ourselves. Wholeheartedly. Mind, body, and intelligence is devoted to this goal. However, this is a misleading goal, the struggle for existence. Now, you may rightly question, well, if I don't struggle, I'll be defeated. For example, my struggle allows me to get some money. With that money, I'm able to maintain myself. So the logic is that if I stop struggling, I won't get the money. If I don't have the money, I cannot pay for the things that I need or want. So we think this is like a no-brainer. This is where Srila Prabhupada's point is very important in the purport. He says, in any position, while discharging his prescribed duty, one can develop Krishna consciousness simply by associating with devotees who are representatives of Krishna and who can teach his science. The point is that even if you are successful in your struggle, you die. If we must be truthful, then we should confess that actually death does frustrate all my plans. Death is not something one welcomes. If you're struggling for existence, death is the ultimate frustration. It makes the whole endeavor pointless. And therefore we have to reconsider whether the struggle for existence is my goal in life. Because it is destined to be frustrated by death. Shishi Gaur Nitai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. So, why would I do something which will be ultimately frustrated? And especially at great struggle, great endeavor, great effort, great sacrifice, only to be frustrated. And so, what is the alternative? What is the alternative? What do I do with my life? The point of the verse is that we must do that activity which is not frustrated by death, which is not spoiled, which is not in vain. And so this comes about by associating with those people who have already molded their life in a spiritual fashion, for a spiritual purpose, a devotee of the Lord. His endeavor, his struggle, his sacrifice is not frustrated by death. So the intelligent person, he says, well, I want to know more. Tell me more. How can this be? How can I do this? So Srila Prabhupada, first of all, in the purport says that we all have our occupation. In the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, Krishna doesn't suggest anything unpractical. He is referring to the verse in the Gita, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, that therefore in all circumstances, Sarveshu Kaleshu, think of me whilst performing your duty. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying one doesn't have to give up his occupation as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. In any position, while discharging his prescribed duty, one can develop Krishna consciousness. So, 2 points. One is, you should engage in your occupation, but not with the purpose for simply struggling for existence. But with a different purpose. You can engage in a job, in a business, in an occupation, but having a different purpose whilst doing it. The purpose is to always think of Krishna, to be Krishna conscious. So I said there's two things. So one is to do your occupation. The other is how, whilst performing your duty, your activity, how do you become Krishna conscious? That's the question. How do you give up this false ego? I am this body and this is my property. Because Shukadev Goswami is saying that's the failure. If you die thinking, I am this body and all my possessions, they belong to me, then that life was wasted. So Krishna's formula of engaging in one's occupation, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, is that that's also the same activity through which you become Krishna conscious. We have an assumption that the idea behind my occupation is money or something material, to achieve some success, to have some power, to achieve something material. We have assumed this, but this is our mistake. And if we become Krishna conscious while doing our work, we are saved from that mistake, from that illusion. So let's go a little deeper. I'm associating with devotees and I'm a businessman. I'm working. How does that change? How does that deal with this problem of thinking I'm the body? How does it change the fact that I'm possessive? I want things. I want a car, a nice house, nice clothes, a nice family. How does it change? Narada Muni mentions this to Vyasadeva in the first canto, that a thing, the same thing that is the cause of our disease, when applied therapeutically, is a cure for that same disease. He's referring to problems that arise from taking too much milk. You develop some kind of indigestion. And the cure is to take yogurt, which is nothing but milk transformed. It alleviates this problem caused by too much milk. And yet, yogurt is nothing but milk, applied therapeutically. So this activity of engaging in our occupation is the cause of our bondage. We become more and more attached to this idea that I am this body and all these things are mine. But there is a therapeutic use in Krishna consciousness. And the idea is to understand, whilst I'm doing that activity, that it is for Krishna. Prabhupada gives an example, a nice example. Sometimes we find it hard to understand. What's the material difference between a devotee going to work and a person who is not a devotee going to work. Both are going to work. What is the significant difference? So this example helped me, and I'm hoping it will enliven you too. So Prabhupada gives the example of a you know how it is. A materialist, he likes to count money. I have so much money in his wallet at home. Checks how many rupees he has. So there's a sense of possession. But a bank clerk does the same thing. He counts money. He counts lots of money. But he doesn't think it's his. That's the difference. Same activity. But he thinks it's not like he's okay if he counts up to 10,000 rupees, but if he has to count a lakh, he becomes attached. No, it makes no difference to him. It's not his money. So there's this need to have an understanding of a bank clerk, that everything I'm dealing with, this house, this job, this family, is actually not mine. The bank clerk. It belongs to somebody else. I have a duty. So it's this consciousness of a duty, without linking it with some material benefit, that is the therapeutic use of the same thing that binds us. This idea that actually my body, my possessions do not belong to me. And this comes about when you associate with devotees. That's the difference. And then our life is not frustrated at the time of death. Just like when the bank clerk has to hand over the money to the next person, he doesn't lament. He can leave the bank empty-handed, just as when he went to the bank empty-handed. So the devotee is able to leave at the time of death this life behind him without any attachment. That's the secret. That's the art. The other point Srila Prabhupada devotes much of the purport to is that it's not just doing whatever we're doing in life, because mostly people engage in activities not because of duty. They have adopted activities on the basis of what's most... They've calculated which activity will give me the best result. So they change jobs with that in mind. They change partners with that in mind. They divorce, find another person, because they're not doing their duty. They're thinking of the result. This is one symptom. So Prabhupada is saying in the purport, Varnashrama Vibhagasya, the duties are not your calculation of what is most materially lucrative. The duty is born of your Guna Karma Vibhagasya. According to your quality and your activity, that is your duty. And you should execute it faithfully. Then it acts therapeutically. Because if you say, well, I mean, people do have questionable careers today, you know. They do really what could be termed as dubious work. For example, some people are speculating on the stock market. Now, you could say, well, that's my work. But actually, it's just a sophisticated form of gambling. And there are four regulatory principles. One of them is do not gamble. No gambling. So we have to be careful that in the name of duty, I don't consider something that actually may not be classified as a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or a Shudra. These are duties. Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. These are duties. Again, as described in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Shamo Dama Tapaso Cham Kshantir Archivameva Cha. You know, and Kshi Gaurakshavani Cham. And so for the Kshatriya, for the Shudra. These activities, they act therapeutic. But if you engage in activities which are, even if they're mainstream, even if they're very popular, they will bind you. They fall into the 16th chapter of the Gita, where pravrittim cha nivrittim cha jana vidur na asura. You cannot distinguish what should be done, what should not be done. You cannot tell the difference. So we must find activities according to varna ashram. Then that activity will act therapeutically by associating with devotees. We will not be attached like the bank clerk to the money we are counting. When we die, we will be able to go without this false conception that I am this body and these possessions belong to me. So, thank you very much for your attention. Are there any questions or disputes? It's a touchy subject because many people have invested their life in a certain career. And it may be that you are in the stock market. It may be that so many things. And somebody says, well, you're asking me to, I will have wasted all these years of education to have this job. Well, then my argument would be, you've certainly wasted your years if you have to give it up, but do you also want to waste the rest of your life? Because that is what we're facing. You will die. You do not have to have doubts about that. What will happen then? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. We will get the results of our activities, our choices. So, yes, it's very difficult. The person this instruction was given to in the previous chapter was King Rahugana. He was a king. He had to give it up. He gave up the kingdom. So, I don't think any of us here are kings. So whatever we may have to give up is nothing in comparison to King Rahugana. And this is the instruction, though. Part of education is to mold your life according to what you have learned, not to carry on in an ignorant fashion. So are there any questions? Can you pass the mic back? See if it's on. And everyone, please leave it on. You don't have to switch it off. Try speaking into it. Speak into it.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for your wonderful lecture. Prabhuji, you were saying that one should be doing the work as per their guna. So how do we know what our guna is?
Right.
Because our education and considering the economic situation currently, we need to see that we need to do some work to earn some money. So how do we know that whatever work we are doing is as per our guna?
Right. So this is actually what education is meant for, to know what is my guna and what should be my karma according to my guna. That's what education. And that's what going to the Gurukul is, to the Guru. We have a system of education which is, we say in English, unhinged. It has no bearing on what's relevant to you. It's completely very foolish basis that you have to learn some funny things just to acquire a piece of paper that qualifies you to get a job. Real education means reformation of character according to one's own predisposition. So people are not the same. So the guru, he analyzes, this person, he's got this guna. So he will be trained accordingly, according to his quality, according to his predisposition. And from the young age, he learns to do every activity as a duty. Simply, he has to obey. That's all is required. Prabhupada gave a class, a lecture, and he makes this point that the essence of duty is obedience. All duty. So we are submitting to a program given in the Vedas which will help us according to my qualities, according to my position. Atta pumbir dvija shrestha varnashrama vibhag shvanushtitasya dharmasya. Our dharma, our occupation has to be based on swanushtitasya, according to me. Then sansiddhi haritoshanam. Then Krishna can be pleased. Then we can engage in activities that can please Krishna. So going back to the point, how do we know our guna? We have to go to the Guru. And he instructs us, my dear child, my dear son, you take this career path. Out of these four, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And we should dutifully, faithfully execute those activities. And you will find, if you follow them, now again, King Rahugana was doing that, by the way. He was a king according to his guna. But he was too wrapped up in the material aspect of his duty, not the spiritual aspect. These duties are for a purpose. They're not for material purpose. In the case of Rahugana, not to be just a king who conquers other kings and dies. That's what's said in the verse. The idea is to actually become free from this bodily concept of life. So therefore we must know our guna. And therefore we must go to the Guru. Is that okay? Can you pass? Oh, first take it. First, yeah, it's easier and then.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Hari Ram Prabhu, for a very interesting class. And you gave a very good, you cited a very nice comparison to the bank teller who counts the money. And this is a very important topic of how we can perform our ordinary duties, so-called non-spiritual duties in spiritual consciousness. And I would like to ask you a question that's often asked. If we have some karmi job, so to say, and we are devotees, we need to earn money, how can we perform that karmi job in the spiritual, how can we see that as devotional service? Sometimes they give the example of, okay, you use the results for Krishna, but that's just the results. And what about the rest of the month when you are working? So, could you please elaborate a little bit on this, how to perform even the work itself in a spiritual consciousness?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. Srila Prabhupada painstakingly is addressing this point in his purpose. He's trying to make this teachings relevant to us. He's saying again and again that first of all we should understand, what am I? Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Because you see, spiritual, the next part, which is spiritual, it becomes easier to understand if you know which of these four I am. Because they have very different psychology. See, the Brahmana, he cannot take a salary. He cannot. It's not. There is no version of a Brahmana where they take a salary. None. He cannot. So that ability to live without taking a salary, that's training for that person. It's very different from a Kshatriya, Vaishya and a Shudra. Very different. In fact, it's interesting. Many of the purports, in the first canto in particular, Prabhupada's saying how distinct each varna is from the other. So the Kshatriya, he also will not take employment. He will take taxes. The Vaishya, he will do business. In other words, the division is according to your means of livelihood. So this training, now you're doing an ordinary job, so this is where only Srila Prabhupada can say these things, because he's on such a platform. Everyone thought, well, you know, I'm a doctor. It's a pretty good job. Very difficult to do. Not everyone can do. But Prabhupada's vision was, it's a Shudra. Because you're on a salary. And if this person doesn't employ you, you have to go and beg somebody else. Prabhupada said, you're a dog. Because you depend on a master. Somebody who will take your service and maintain you. Of course, we think, we look at it in a dignified way. He's not maintaining me. I'm earning the money. I'm maintaining myself. But look at the essence. Anyway, so let's suppose you reach the point where you say, okay, I'm a Shudra. Now you can follow the program that is given for a Shudra in the Varnashram system. That means you faithfully serve your master. You must faithfully serve him. That's the point. If you realize I'm a Shudra, that means my duty is to serve him. People, they're unable to understand this point, and therefore they're unable to take advantage. It's interesting because I brought up in England. Even in England, not so long ago, there was the professors in Oxford and Cambridge University. There was the landlords who took taxes of their tenants. There was the farmers, and there was the serfs, S-E-R-F-S, the serfs. They had masters in every discipline. And their goal was simply to serve their master. They were also called apprentices. So my point is, our duties become clear once we understand which varna I belong to. Otherwise it's called Varna Sankara. Varna Sankara is not only unwanted children. Varna Sankara means there's a confusion of what Varna I am. There's a confusion. So this confusion should be alleviated. We should remove the confusion about what Varna I am and then do your duty. More can be said, but is that okay?
I have in mind one specific person who has a security firm. So he would not fit a Shudra description. He's independently, he has his own company, organizes, and he collects, so to say, taxes for providing security to different businesses. Yeah. And but still he says he has trouble seeing that material activity as service to Krishna. He says, okay, there is that material activity, I get money for that, but how can I do that activity for, you know,
I must confess, I happen to have a whole course on how to understand one's varna. It's a compilation over the years that I've been doing. So I won't go into that, but there's a simple answer. Yat karosi, yat asnasi, yat jahosi tadat. Whatever, even if you don't know, give it to Krishna. Start from there. The actual significance of your career, that requires what I said to earlier, first question. You require a guru, training. It's a program. It's not, you know, you're a Shudra. I understand the protest. I understand. I think he's applying himself as a Kshatriya. He's managing his tax base, so to speak. But he's getting a salary. So I understand. There's a little confusion. But there are principles by which this can be all resolved. But they require a program. That's why actually it requires a Gurukula. To clearly understand, I'll give you one example. In the army, there was Arjuna. But there were Shudras in the army also. But they were not Kshatriyas. I'll give you the simple example of a Shudra. The chariot driver. He's a Shudra. He was attacked by arrows also. Now, see, there's one problem with Varna, this Varna area. People attach a derogatory idea with the word Shudra. Shudra is not derogatory, it's not demeaning. It's a mistake. The half the protests that I hear are based on a kind of a protest. Please don't call me a Shudra. I'm doing something very important. I am not a Shudra. But Shudra is not a low, some kind of demeaning position. Vidura was a Shudra. Vidura, Mahatma. Great soul, pure devotee, is a Shudra. Shudra is not a dirty word. It's not a swear word. It's an occupation. It's honorable. By that activity, you can go back to Godhead if you do it right. So please don't fall into the trap of aspiring to be a Brahmana when it may not be right for you. Do not do it. I have to go. Can you pass the mic to there's somebody?
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada sometimes refers...
Very close, yeah.
Srila Prabhupada sometimes refers to Vaishyas, Shudras, and women are being lower class. So I was just wondering whether are women part of the Varna?
You were wondering?
I wonder whether the women class are part of the Varna.
The women class?
Yeah. System
in the Varna? Huh. Yeah. The simple answer is they're in the Shudra category. Please allow me to explain. They're to assist whoever they're married to. And they're classified in that varna, but their activity is paricharya, to serve the person they're married to, whatever occupation he is. That's the Vedic, yeah. If it's a simple further lead on, I'll take it, but I'll not do what is meant for a whole many years, you know. Yeah, please.
Yeah, I came to the same conclusion as you just stated. I came to the same conclusion as you just stated, but I have a problem.
Okay.
Is that most women were men in their previous lives.
Right.
And they may have some scars that make them act as either Brahmins, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, or Shudras. So how do you deal with that?
Right. Okay, so I humbly protest that this is perhaps not the time or the place to, but it's something, yes, there should be a full seminar that delves into all these details. And they are important, by the way. They are important. I just needed to cover, to do justice to the verse and the purport. So, if that's okay. Any other brief? Okay, bring it forward, yeah.
So, now in ISKCON, we see a lot of brahmanas, pujaris being paid for their services. So it's called allowance, salary allowance. So what to make of it?
So I said earlier, this is called a confusion. It's called a confusion. When there's a mixture of elements, because there's no clear understanding what I am and what are the rules that apply to my varna. So then there's what's called a mixture. Again, Varna Sankara is not a dirty word. It means there's a confusion. We don't know. There's a mixture. So therefore we need... The idea of understanding which Varna is only to help us to know what I should do next. It is not to demean somebody. It is not to disparage them. It's not to attack them. Everyone can rise to the perfectional stage. Mam hi partha vyapashritya. Yepi syu papa yonaya. Krishna is saying that Sriya Vaishyas Tatha Shudras, Tepi Yanti Paramgati. They can all attain the highest perfection. But we should know what is my actual varna. Is that okay? Yeah, please.
Prabhuji. Somewhere I read or I heard that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Shudras are people who work so that they enjoy their senses. They clearly, they're saying, I want to enjoy my senses, I'm going to work, and I'm going to enjoy my senses. Is that?
Yeah, there's a number of principles that apply. The Shudra doesn't have the same level of responsibility as a Brahmana, and yet he can also advance. But a Brahmana cannot do that according to his occupation.
Pretty much the whole environment, the whole setting of our idealistic Varnashram system, which is based in this material world, how relevant is it? You know, realistic, you're saying ideally it would be something, and
okay,
realistically we're going outside to work occupations, jobs, businesses.
Okay, it is highly relevant. The answer to your question is, you're asking me, it's highly relevant, but we should learn how it is relevant. If you have a misunderstanding of Varnashram, then it's not relevant. Because its relevancy, just like medicine is a relevant science, but somebody making experiments without the benefit of the science, that's not called, you know, relevant. That's dangerous. So Varnashram, without proper guidance and understanding, will become dangerous. But that doesn't negate its usefulness in the hands of an expert person. Because there's great benefit. See, the point, let's look at it the other way. There is great benefit to, once you solve these confusions, you will gain so much benefit. In this life, at the end of this life, you can go back to Godhead. How big is that? That's very big. Without another life. That requires expert administration of that science. So it's relevant, but not... But see, here's the problem. Everyone thinks it's... I understand. No, you don't understand. You don't. You have to go to a person who knows this science perfectly, without doubt. Then you will benefit. Thank you. Prabhuji is very anxious. Then, there, 1, 2, and 3. Okay, then we're done.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, you have elaborately explained how one, according to his guna and karma, must act according to his varna and ashrama and sacrifice the results for the Krishna, or Supreme Lord. But on the other hand, we often hear that Vaishnava is above all the varnas and ashramas. So is it the same 2 points, they coincide or they...
Yeah, okay, it's a good question. If a person... See, varna ashram has a goal. If somebody reaches the goal, he doesn't need the means to the goal, you see. The goal of varna ashram is haritoshanam. If some or other, yena kena para kena, Krishna seva niveshayat. If some or other you come to full surrender to Krishna, it doesn't apply. It applies to those who haven't reached full surrender to Krishna. Then you need varnashram.
So once one becomes a Vaishnava, the varnashrama is...
As in perfectly situated Vaishnava, not a neophyte. He's the Prabhupada uses the word gatam mukundam pariritya kartam. He is completely surrendered to Mukunda. To him, no, there's no other obligation of duty. But if we are not, then we need. Okay. Only you can answer that. Means ourselves. We. But yes, if you're a Vaishnava, you're transcendental. Man, what is that? Transcends the modes of nature. Anyway. Okay, pass it on to you. It's on, just keep it very...
At the beginning of, discourse, you mentioned the struggle for existence.
Yes, struggle for existence.
We often use this phrase, struggle for existence. What kind of struggle are we talking about? Because we've typically seen, unless somebody is physically or mentally deranged, it doesn't have to invariably struggle to exist. I think it's a struggle for out-competing the others. It's a struggle for becoming rich. It's a struggle for doing something beyond existence that we try to do. Because typically, even in a place like Vrindavan, people don't have money, they're still able to exist without money. They can have food, they can have shelter. Their ashrams provide them with livelihood. And they don't really have to struggle for it. So my question is, what kind of struggle are we talking about? Unless, a country like India, which was a slave country about, 50, 60, 70 years ago, we really had to struggle for existence because we had no freedom to do things that we were capable of.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mana shashtindriyani prakriti sthani karshati. The living entity, with the 6 senses, including the mind, is struggling for existence. Karshati. This is the scientific analysis of our situation. From birth, a baby struggles, trying. Do you know a baby who doesn't cry? He's struggling for existence. Our whole life, it's an ignorant idea of understanding life to think there is no struggle. Struggle at every moment. Struggle to breathe. struggle that I may not be paralyzed, struggle that I do not fall down. There is struggle bodily, mental, struggle against the elements. This is the nature of material existence. Karshati. The first lesson in spiritual life is to understand that I am struggling in every way. Now the struggle is of different. Right now you're thinking, I don't see people struggling. They're very comfortably situated. It is one aspect, and it is very selective. You have to look at the entire spectrum, from birth to old age to death. And the facet of the struggle carries on. There's competition. Now you may say it is all subjective. In other words, imposed upon oneself. Yet it is there. Because the body makes it. Just to be in this body is a struggle. Your diseases are fighting with your good cells.
It's a very broad way of putting across things. Because
you
would rather classify even a disease or the organs becoming
this is
obsolete
all part
as struggle.
Of, you know, it's a very this is all part of this umbrella of struggle. Struggle is not just... See, we have to take the definition of the meaning according to the book that is using it. So the word karshati, the word karshati. Karshati means against difficulty. Karshana. So everything is a struggle. Everything is a struggle in the material world. It is not easy. We're unable to fly. We're unable to do whatever we please. We are bound, shackled. In a prison, everyone is shackled.
Basically, what you're saying is when we are trying to gratify our senses, it basically
yes.
amounts to a struggle.
This is a struggle.
So we need to actually do away with gratification and move
yeah. on. So how to become free from this struggle, that is the process of Krishna consciousness.
Second question, it's an observation, is that you mentioned about Vidura. You know,
you mentioned
about Vidur.
Yes.
You know, typically, in Hindu families, classification in Varnashram ka, stems from the father and not the mother. Vidura's mother being a Dasi and father being Vedvyas, who's a Brahmin. So, I just want you to elaborate that can a Brahman son be a Shudra?
It's a relevant question, but it's a detail which I cannot go into. It's worth explaining, it's a relevant question, but not today.
Because I would, your name is...
In other words, this whole subject of Varnashram, its details, is a little bit large. Actually takes a few years, actually. Without repetition. But I thought that you ask a good question.
Thank you, Babaji. It doesn't need to take a few years. Actually, we are all actual devotees are Brahman.
Yeah.
We just have to prioritize and minimize our needs and heal ourselves. Then we become Brahman.
Yeah.
Actually heal ourselves. This is the therapy.
Let's finish this discussion on Prabhuji's point earlier.
So we're all actually Brahmins.
That if we become Vaishnava, all of these issues will be resolved. Thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada.